Good morning and welcome to Neocani View. I'm Peter Newman, and one of the most consistently delightful literary events that takes place throughout the North Tillamook County area is the Manzanita Writers Series, and here to talk about what's upcoming in the series are the co-founders of the series, Vera Wildauer and Kathy Hightower. Great pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for inviting us.
Well, let's talk about we'll talk about what's coming up in the series, but how did it come to be in the first place? How did you decide we need a writer's series in this part of our community?
Well, when I moved here 6 years ago now, I guess it is, I don't know, I had in my head that whenever we settled down finally after moving around so much that I wanted to be somehow involved in a writer's series or an author's radio show or something like that. And I spent some time talking to the founder of the Nye Beach Writer Series to see how it worked down there in Newport, Oregon, which is a longer running series that's been very successful, and sort of heard the ins and outs of what worked there, and had met Vera and said, hey, I have this idea, let me run it by you. Walked on the beach one day and she was like, great, let's do it. And we got some other people involved, and I think this is in March, and we had a meeting, and we said, I think we'll start in June. And everyone said, you mean June of next year, right? And we went, no, June of this year. So we did, June 2008.
Right? Well, that wasn't just anyone you met on the beach. You've already got your hands full with artistic events in the area.
Yes, with the Hoffman Center. And actually, that was a perfect fit. We presented the whole notion of a monthly writer series to the Hoffman Center, and they were like, wow, that's great. It's so organized. And we usually kind of try things out and then do something different at the Hoffman Center. We really had a lot of great advice from the Nye Beach folks on how things should work, so we really could do our planning well in advance. So that was a perfect fit for the Hoffman Center.
Was it word of mouth? It seems to me this thing just kind of grew roots really deeply, and it's as if it had been here for forever, it seems. Was it just a hunger for it?
It is word of mouth, but it's a lot of marketing that goes into creating word of mouth. And luckily, Vera has a marketing background, and I have some of a marketing background. And we do a lot to get the word out, and it's because it's been, you know, it's been good authors who are engaging, and then the other popular part of it is the open mic for 9 local or visiting writers to read 5 minutes of their original work. So I think that's sort of spread the word, but there's a lot of other marketing that goes into it, press releases and flyers. And
yes, that's for sure, that's true. The other part of it, I think, is that this area has so many people that are bookish. And if not bookish, then writerish. And just it was just fertile ground for having a writer series like this. And in fact, since we've started, a ton have popped up in other places, other little towns along the coast as well. So I think there's just a wonderful market for writers and reading talks and that sort of thing.
What's the selection process like? Do you go out and there's obviously no shortage of writers. There may be a shortage of good or great writers, but there's also a variety you have to bring in. There are all sorts of things, juggling all balls, all
yes,
different balls
yeah.
you have to juggle in order to bring this ship in.
Yeah. Well, we graze, I would say, of especially keeping an eye on regional authors. I mean, we choose people from around the Northwest, not just the Portland area. We have some Seattle writers that come down regularly, and kind of keeping track of when they're coming out with new releases and that sort of thing. And we compile our list, and then we sit down and say, okay, which of these are our top choices? And there are people that approach us that are coming out with a new book and say, hey, you know, I'd like to be on your schedule.
I hope this isn't too sensitive a question, but just because you're a good writer or a great writer doesn't necessarily mean you're a good communicator about your writing. How do you know ahead of time that this great writer is also going to be good in front of people?
Well, the one thing that's been very helpful is we've tried to get to Wordstock every year in Portland, because that's an opportunity to hear a lot of authors read and to, you know, get a sense of what they're like in front of an audience. So that's been part of that. Nowadays, I think the other big advantage is so many of these we can watch interviews with the authors
online, or wherever,
you know,
in some
manner, and so you get a sense of how they are in person from that, which we certainly couldn't have done years ago. So that's been helpful. I guess that's really the main.
Yeah.
That and reading enough reviews and sort of getting a sense of how many events they've done. You know, you can go on their website nowadays and see how many events they're doing and how many readings are happening. And so that sort of helps as well to see that they've had lots of experience at it.
Right.
That now, makes a difference.
The two of you are also writers professionally, and talk a little bit about the experience, not only just the creative process of writing, but then actually getting in front of an audience. Does that make a difference in terms of your relationship to the spoken word?
I think it's really important if you are a writer who, in any sense at all, wants to get published and get your work out to a wider audience, that you get some practice at reading it out loud. Because quite frankly, we've seen writers who, you know, are published and are such introverts that they have a hard time getting in front of a microphone and, you know, reading to an audience. And that's a big part of, you know, nowadays authors have to do pretty much all their own marketing. And so if you can't get out and engage with an audience, that's a real handicap for any author. And I think the other thing is, until you hear an audience response, you don't really get as strong a sense of how your writing reads.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that it's, you know, just the way words flow and whether images come across, whether people are laughing in the right place or gasping, whatever your kind of genre you might be writing. So that is a wonderful opportunity. I think the open mic, especially for people who are writers in progress to try out some of their material before they're all the way done, is a great opportunity to do that.
That was your perfect segue to my next question. Our guests, the co-founders of the Manzanita Writers Series, which takes place at the Hoffman Center, will give you a schedule upcoming. Vera Wildauer and Kathy Hightower. The open mic series, it is a great way to try your material out, and I imagine, you know, decide whether is it the way that was written that got this response? Is it the way I delivered it? Do I go back and fix it? Am I happy with the way it is? But it's a great workshop for writers.
Yes, and we really wish that more people would take advantage of it. I mean, we have spots for 9 folks, and we don't always fill up those spots. And it would, you know, really, if anyone's kind of on the fence, should I do this or not? It's maybe too scary. And you couldn't ask for a warmer, kinder audience. Everyone there,
appreciative audience.
Yes, they're so happy to listen. And it's like story time for grown-ups, right? And so it's just really fun, and you get applause no matter what happens. So it's a really wonderful experience.
Have you tried out your own material there?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
All the time. Yes.
And we, you know, as one example, one friend has become a friend, somebody I talk to a lot when I'm at the fitness center. I'm not going to say his name here, but he kept saying he was going to do it, he was going to do it, he was going to do it. He's been writing and he finally, it took him, I don't know, 3 years, and he signed in first so that he'd be the first one to go to get it over with. And he the audience was so responsive and laughing and right caught up with it that he was then going to check out possibly doing Fisher Poets, and then he wants to come back and read again. And I think that's the thing, that so many people have this fear factor of it. And it does take, the one thing we always tell people is you do have to practice it for 5 minutes, and because we're not 100% firm on that 5 minutes, but we're pretty close. And if you think you're just going to get up and wing it, or you're going to practice it in your head and not practice that out loud, that's not a great idea, because there's a big difference between actually reading it out loud than reading it in your head. So it takes practice to get to that 5 minutes to make sure that you're not rambling on and past the point. But it's everyone who's done it said even if they were nervous to start with, that they enjoyed it. So, and they come back to do it again. So we really encourage everybody who is writing to come. And you'll see, if you want to come first to see how it works, yeah, you'll see it's very supportive. It's a great place to do it.
Is there, whether it's poetry or prose, fiction or nonfiction, is there a Northwest school, a Northwest sensibility that you detect when you you survey these people, or is it just, you know, good literature is good literature, good writing is good writing?
Well, I think we get a wide variety. I think that's the one thing that I really like about open mic, is that you see such a wide variety, because we have people who have lived all over the place living here too, so that if they're bringing in things from their life experience, it's not Northwest specific. And we have such a variety of poetry, nonfiction, memoir, fiction pieces.
Right.
I don't think of it as any... I wouldn't even say, you know, it's focused more on, you know, being at the coast or being in out in nature or anything. I think
so would you dispel stereotypes of people holed up in dark rooms with a fire blazing, coffee going, and the rain dripping outside, and somehow masterpieces infect that sort of that behavior?
Well, they may do it there, but what comes out is entirely different from person to person.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what's immediately coming up. You've got a lot on your plate, as it were. Next event coming up is early April, yes?
Yes, yes. And we're quite excited because we're collaborating with the Bay City Arts Center to put on a whole weekend of poetry events. The first day, we have a couple of poets coming in for two different workshops, and then their poetry reading and an open mic after the workshops themselves. And then on Sunday is more of a community approach down at the Bay City Arts Center, where there's going to be lunch and door prizes and open mic and prompts.
First some writing prompts and then open mic readings. And this is all April 6th and 7th, so
writing
that's
prompts.
Outside of our normal schedule.
What is a writing prompt?
Oh, you're given a line to start with that either is you have to use it or just use it as a trigger for some memory. It can be, I mean, that's a lot. Most writers, when they do writing groups, we almost always work with a prompt of some sort. Like, you know, I remember is a prompt. And then you just go from there. And obviously, everybody's going to come up with something totally different with that prompt. But for the poetry, there'll be different kinds of prompts that are tied to, geared towards writing poetry.
And this exists outside your normal schedule. So what happens when you get back to the normal course of business?
Our normal schedule for April is April 20th, because we're usually on the third Saturday of the month for the writer series. And Jim Lynch will be here. We're welcoming him back. We had him read from Border Songs a couple of years ago, I think. And his new book is Truth Like the Sun, which is a novel, but it's based on some factual things that happened in Seattle during the 1960s and then during the whole dot-com era. It sort of goes back and forth between two time periods.
It's gotten a lot of press regionally.
Yes,
about that
lot
work.
Of
so you're
press.
Lucky to have grabbed him.
Yes.
Yeah, we're very excited. And he's always he's very engaging, so we know that. That's always nice too. We've had somebody before that we know.
Does it help a local author or local writer when they see somebody like a Jim Lynch or somebody of that caliber in terms of helping them with their own writing? I think that in any profession, anytime I can see a colleague do something and do it really well, it certainly helps what we all do. To be around talented people hopefully makes us all a little bit more talented.
And I think part of the reason for the writer series, or one of the reasons we get a lot of writers attending, is one, you get to see an author who has been doing a lot of readings, who, you know, knows how to engage an audience. You see how they handle an audience, how they handle Q&A and all that kind of stuff. And then many of the questions that get asked almost always are about the writing process.
It's technical,
you know,
stuff.
It's the
really
writing process, the publishing process. So, you know, you're learning in that sense from somebody who's, you know, been through and done successfully doing it.
I think also it's just inspiring to, you know, when you're slogging away by yourself in the rainy, drippy coastal environment and someone talks about their story and how they keep at it and what keeps them going, and then it, you know, encourages you to get back at it as well yourself.
So Jim Lynch will be here April 20, and then let's hop into it to May, and what's coming up then?
Natalie Serber is a short story writer, and she's... just come out with a collection of short stories. She's primarily published before in literary magazines, and her collection is mainly stories about mothers and daughters. And one reviewer called it kind of a a cross between love and sandpaper, which is kind of
a great description of any mother-daughter
relationship. So, and she will also be doing a workshop on the mother-daughter experiences. So I'm not exactly sure all the details on that workshop, but it should be pretty interesting.
Wow, and then heading into to June, you have this sounds it's called Love Water Memory.
Well, that's Love Water Memory.
Just saying that as a title makes me think it could go off in 5 or 10 dozen different directions.
Well, Jenny Shortridge, for one thing, the last couple of years we stopped doing programs during the summertime. We took the break between May and then September. In this case, we're making an exception because Jenny is. We call her our fairy godmother of the writer series. She kicked off our series in June 2008. We had her come back again for another novel. And her second novel and then this novel are both based on truth. This one, she happened to see a newspaper mention about somebody who just disappeared and from Seattle, right? And then showed up in San Francisco and with amnesia and didn't know who she was. And so she took that little tidbit and then she took it in a totally, you know, completely made up version. But she, this book or this novel is an indie book selection for 2013, which is always a great sign. It's gotten great reviews from Publishers Weekly and, you know, the big publishing magazines. So we're very excited about that. And Jenny is totally engaging with the audience. She knows how to pull an audience in and connect with them. So we're very excited about that. And that will be also, it's during the summer, which we don't normally do anymore, but also it's on a Friday night, June 28th, because of some scheduling things. So that's a slightly different. We're normally on Saturday night, but this is Friday, June 28th.
And I know people can go to the website, which we'll give you information on in a moment, to get the rest of the year. But let's just, you know, give them a little taste. What I mean, I'm not sure. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing in September, October, November, but you can persuade me.
Yes. Well, September, we have Paul Tutongi, and his book is Evel Knievel Days, and he's a very interesting fellow. His background is he kind of has a multicultural approach because his father is Egyptian and his mother is Latvian, and so that sort of multicultural perspective really infuses his writing. And Evel Knievel Days is about a young man who ends up from Butte, Montana, who lives in Butte, Montana, and then searches for his father in Cairo. So that should be a real interesting book.
And he'll be doing a workshop on dialogue, which is important for all of us writers. So,
yes.
That's September. October, I think this is probably the name that is probably going to be the most well-known, Whitney Otto, who wrote How to Make an American Quilt, which was made into a movie a number of years ago, is reading from her novel, Eight Girls Taking Pictures, which is it's a novel that's based, again, on reality. It's about eight different photographers she did a lot of research on and their lives and the whole art process. So we're excited about that. And she will also be doing a workshop on the elements of fiction. So we hope that that'll be a big draw.
And then to close out the 2013 season will be Roger Hobbs and with his book Ghost Man, which is he calls himself a criminal writer. So I guess that makes it a mystery and pretty intriguing one. So and he's an intriguing character as well. He just graduated from Reed College in 2011 and got this book published right after. And it's already in 15 different countries, and so he's...
How did you find somebody that young, and how did that person get on your calendar? You know, that, I mean, lucky him, but lucky you, but you know, it usually takes years to establish yourself and to get people to notice you, and right. you found this person.
Well, I'm always kind of cruising for authors, and you know, a really good source for me is Jeff Baker at the Oregonian. He's sort of the book guy and writes a lot about regional authors as well as national ones. But he's often the first place I go look for new people.
And in this case, I think the article we were reading, the review we were reading from the New York Times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They're comparing one of his main characters to Jack Reacher, who's, they just made a movie with
Tom Cruise
about Jack Reacher, who's a popular character, one of these guys that sort of flies under everybody's radar screen and is not. So they're comparing a little bit to that. So anyway, he's doing very well for a brand new author right out the gate.
Our guests this morning on Neocony View, the co-founders of the Manzanita Writer Series, Sabir Wildauer and Kathy Hightower. Just in the last couple of minute or so, you mentioned the Oregonian, you mentioned the New York Times, both newspapers, and as you say that, I'm thinking, oh, that's just fine. We're putting our faith in getting the word out on the spoken word in newspapers. That's a little scary, given the state of that part of the publishing world. Do you have a sense that there's as print journalism copes with whatever it is it is coping with these days, that there's some, do you have any fear that what you're doing can be impacted, that cultural literacy can somehow be affected?
Well, you know, I read both those papers online, so it's not exactly print anymore, is it?
But it's it's hopefully still journalism.
yes. So I'm not worried.
No. I think it's just all switching to online, you know, and pretty much every area, and you know, books are going very heavily to ebooks. I think there's a combination of, you know, that kind of thing, but I think the writing is still there, and the material is still has to be created somewhere. And so I think that it's just going to be, you know, in a different sort of a different way that we access it. I think that I don't think that the writing's going to go away.
And I guess you could make the case that, you know, you can mention the New York Times, but for it as an example, but we have access online to the entire world of journalism if we choose to access it. And so really there's so much available to us. We just have to get over the idea that it's going to be free, you know?
Yeah. Well, quite frankly, it makes our job much easier finding people and tracking people down and reading about them and reading reviews. And if we were strictly looking at print reviews on everybody, it wouldn't be very limited. And we probably wouldn't have access to as much. But I do want to say that since we're talking about print,
you're helping me with my segues again. Thank you.
We want to mention that one of the things that we wanted to do was not only to give an opportunity with Open Mic for writers to read their original work, which is a big part of what we do with the writer series, but this year we brought out the second edition or second annual Squid, we call it, a literary magazine, to offer an opportunity for the writers to see their work published as well, and for it to be juried. We have we have outside authors. This year was a separate author for fiction, separate for nonfiction, and separate for poetry doing the judging. So it's not us, you know, trying to judge.
Right. And totally blind judging then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if people are interested in getting in on the next edition of Squid, they better start thinking about it now, because when are submissions due?
Right. We're moving up the schedule a little bit because part of what's happening this year is we're moving away from a newspaper print kind of format in becoming an independent publication. Before, our partner had been the North Coast Citizen, and they took care of layout and printing production, and now we're going to kind of go off on our own, and already got a grant from the Tillamook County Cultural Coalition to revamp it into more of a magazine style publication. And as a result, we're moving up the deadline to August 31st, and the publication will come out in November.
So if somebody is interested, they really better get on it.
And yes. Right.
And is it totally wide open in terms of what you'll accept
in terms of content? Definitely. We're trying to focus on people that have some sort of connection with the coast, whether they live here full time, part time, come here every year for vacation. The idea being that we want to give the opportunity to folks, more local folks than other publications might. But as far as theme or style, we look at everything.
It's wide open. We just have some word count limitations and number of submission limitations that you can submit in each category, and a certain number of poems. And we also are always looking for art to include in this as well, both photography and art that is printable.
We're going to give you in just a moment contact information for both Squid and the Writers Series and the Hoffman Center. But Vera, before we do that, as someone who also wears a Hoffman Center hat, you must feel, as does anyone connected with the Hoffman Center, very good about how the whole place just developed and how things are kind of falling into line and doing what the Hoffman Center said it was going to do when it started up.
Yes. Yes. It's wonderful to see. Along with the Writer Series, of course, which has been going on for...
Since 2008, whatever
yes.
that is.
Oh, almost 5 years. Wow. There's also a really strong ceramics studio and ceramics program. They've just added a second Saturday a month, so that's now two Saturdays a month and Tuesdays during the day and Thursday evenings. I mean, if you want to get into ceramics and clay work, you have ample opportunity. We've got some painting classes coming up in April. And then, of course, the big deal, Trash Art Show in June, end of June, first beginning of July. So people who want to make art out of other things, so the whole
recycled
idea being
thing.
Recycled materials. It was really fun last year, and some wonderful art came out of that. So
it's all it is all the things that you and others said, this is what we need to do with the Hoffman Center. It looks like it happened.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, it's still a work in progress.
Yes.
Well,
there's always fundraising going on.
Everything is always a work in progress. Yes. Well, immediately coming up is the Beach and Bay Poetry Weekend, and that is coming up April 6 and 7, and that is at the Hoffman Center, even
yes.
though it is in cooperation with the folks down in Bay City.
Well, that's on Saturday, but on Sunday it is at Bay City.
So Saturday mm-hmm. in Manzanita, Sunday in Bay City. And context, how can they find out about that, the rest of the series, and how can you pick up a copy of Squid?
Well, to find out more about the series and the Beach and Bay Poetry Weekend, just go to hoffmanblog.org, and you can just type that in the search or click on the Manzanita Writer Series tab. And then as far as picking up a Squid, right now you can pick one up at Cloud and Leaf in Manzanita, as well as Manzanita News and Espresso, and at any Manzanita Writer Series event. We'll be adding more locations as time goes on, and you'll find out more about that on the blog as well.
And for submissions to Squid, how do they do that?
There's an email, but... we'll wait till the time to announce that.
Okay.
Don't want them too early.
You've got enough on your on your hands right now.
Yeah.
But that deadline is coming up. I think you said August.
August.
Can't put it off for too long.
No.
Well, again, for more information, go to the hoffmanblog.org for more information. You can search out the Manzanita Writer Series and all the good stuff that's happening at the Hoffman Center. Vera Wildhauer and Kathy Hightower, it's a pleasure talking to you as always. You always come up with exciting people to see and hear, and this season's no exception. Thank you for doing it.
We're happy to.
And we will see you again fourth Monday in the month on Neocon View. Thanks for joining us.